I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Tammy Charles is the critically acclaimed author of many books for young adults like Vanessa and Becoming Beatrice. In her teens and 20s, she enjoyed a taste of fame as part of an all-girl R&B trio. Her new book is out. It's written in verse. It's called Mute. Tammy, thanks for being with us. You have unmuted yourself. That's great. On the Zoom. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it is... There is sort of a feel that tables might be turning a little bit in the world. At least people, men in power are being called out in the era we're in right now. Let's first introduce us to your main character of Mute, Denver. Tell us what she's all about.
Sure. So the title of the book is Muted, and the main character is Denver, along with her two best friends, Shaq and Dali. And together, they have these golden voices. They are a singing group. And for Denver, she has always wanted nothing more than to be a famous R&B artist. So she creates that chance for her singing group when they run into the likes of legendary singer-songwriter Sean Mercury Ellis, and they sing for him, and he's blown away. And he offers to mentor them, and he takes them on this roller coaster ride that is the music industry. But after a while, Denver realizes it's not everything that it's cracked up to be. And she has to question, will she allow this particular person to mute her, or will she click that unmute button and reclaim power for herself and for her best friends?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that kind of power struggle in the music industry, or even with just people of power. You've been through this yourself, even specifically in the R&B world.
Yeah, so I always say that, you know, my time in that world was fun. We certainly did not reach the level of success that we wanted to. That market, especially during the late 1990s, it was so saturated with so many R&B girl groups that it just became such a tough nut to crack. But luckily, my singing group, we came out unscathed. But that's not always the case for just about anyone trying to enter the music world, the entertainment world at large. And, you know, in writing this book, I came across some like really staggering statistics, like how, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, like 71% of females experience some type of workplace trauma. And it's usually by men in power. And a lot of them don't report it to the police because A, they're afraid. In some cases, these women in the industry will sign a form that says that they can't say all of the bad things that these men are doing. So it just becomes like very tricky, and so much an abuse of power. I've seen it. And this is why I wanted to write about it. Particularly, this is a world that we don't shine enough light, especially for girls of color. I find that we're often muting their voices. So I wanted to write this and give women a platform to amplify their voices.
So when they sign that contract that says they can't complain or talk about anything that happens to them, do they fully understand what they're signing?
Not at all.
They don't. So it's kind of misguided information.
Absolutely. So what we have to remember is the characters are 17 years old when this happens in the book. And I think society tends to look at 17-year-olds as adults, and they're not. Yeah. they don't have the grasp of exactly what they're getting into. And particularly Denver, the main character, she signs this contract without the knowledge of her parents. Mm. So, and she turns 18 very shortly after. It's very tricky. And I think as a society, we have to remember that these are children. They are not adults, even though we tend to adultify girls at a certain age. It's really unfortunate.
You know, it's interesting we're talking about this because I just had a conversation in our family about a young cousin who was, he's going to enter into the modeling world and almost signed a contract. And basically, that person was going to take care of all their money for them.
Of course.
And take out, you know, and charge everything. And part of, I mean, that this, these situations are really labor trafficking.
It really is. And if you don't, if you don't have the right village, parents, lawyers, adults who care for you and people who you trust, you can really fall down a rabbit hole. And that's pretty much what happens to my characters. They had a good village, but you know, stubborn teenagers.
Well, and
they didn't listen.
Yeah. And there's that lure of fame out there.
Oh yeah. And money.
Yeah.
And also the lure of losing fame.
Oh yeah. And think about it. So many kids today, they want to go viral. They want to be TikTok stars and Instagram models. And that's all fine and dandy. But who do you have in your corner when you're reaching for that? And do you have a normal life outside of that? Because that's the thing. We have to maintain some sense of normalcy. Fame isn't everything. I thought it was growing up for sure. But like I said, I came out unscathed. I'm actually quite happy that I'm not in that world anymore. Bless those who are still in it, but it's definitely a tough industry.
So when you were 17, were you just like most 17-year-olds?
Oh, I was stubborn. I didn't want to listen to my parents. I thought I knew everything.
So what kind of things have happened to young women in the music industry like this? Like, give us some examples of it.
Some examples. Okay. I'll go broad here. Even though I'm in this particular book, I'm trying to shine a light on how girls of color are taken advantage of, because it's just not something that's talked about often. But if I'm going super broad, Taylor Swift, Kesha. Going back to Taylor Swift, if I recall correctly, her issues of abuse have to deal with her songwriting and her catalog not being her own. Those are her words and her talent. And something very similar happens in my book with Denver, where her mentor steals her work. Those are her words, her lyrics, her music, and he literally steals it, slaps his name on it, performs it, and it goes to number one. This is an ongoing problem in the music industry at large, but we really have to start talking more about this, because these girls need a voice. There's so many women across the years. I can go as far back as, I don't know if you know the singer Michelle A. Michelle A was a singer in the 90s, a protege of Dr. Dre. And she was not heard. Her accusations of abuse, no one was listening back then, but maybe now they are.
It seems like they're music predators.
Music predators, yeah. All around entertainment industry predators. We've heard the names. When I talk about this book, I try not to highlight the names. I think people can read between the lines who I'm talking about and what type of men that I'm talking about, because they're all over the place. But the truth is, do they really deserve even more fame? Because the more we say their names, the more popular they are, the more enticed people will become to buy their music, listen to their albums. They don't need that type of fame.
So I think. So what's it like? Why do you write in verse?
So this was my very first attempt. I've always read poetry, enjoyed it, and I've read lots of novels in verse. But this particular novel, I tried to write it about 7 years ago, just in your standard format, and something was not working. But when I started to see more of these Me Too stories creep up in the headlines, Denver's voice came back to me. And I knew that I had to dive back to my teenage years when I was a singer-songwriter. And I said, oh, this character is a songwriter. I have to write this book in verse. It needs to feel like an album. And, you know, blowing my own horn here, I narrated the audiobook, And there's original music in the audiobook. So if you listen to the audiobook, you'll hear that from start to finish, it's a performance. And that's how I knew that I needed to write it in verse.
So I've been dabbling in writing, and I've noticed that I will write something and I go back and I change it. It's like I'm writing in verse and you go back and change it. It must take forever to do a book in verse because you must always be looking and say, oh, that word's wrong. There's a better one.
Yep. Yeah. So like I said, I started the book about 7 years ago, but I just couldn't get it going. Once I figured out who Denver was, that's when it really flowed. But that I started in early 2019. Let's say I started in January. I'd finished the book by June. But, you know, as a writer, first drafts are always your worst drafts. So I spent, you know, the rest of the year really polishing it up. But we had a book deal for it by September, I think.
We're talking to Tammy Charles today. She's telling us about her novel in verse. It's called Muted. I think it's such an interesting thing of creativity, of how you had, you know, the nuggets of the story, but you needed the right format for it to really blossom into what it's become. I think that's a good thing for people who are, you know, new to whatever kind of art form they might be doing, that like a slight change might lead you down a different path.
Exactly. All it takes is a spark. Yes. And this one was a book that I had shelved. And in writing this book, it's inspired me to pick up some other stuff that I have had on my shelf for years. I'm like, oh, if I can do it with that, maybe I can do it again.
You know, in the state of Minnesota, we've gone through, as any of the states have, but particularly in the music industry here in the state, really a Me Too movement where women finally felt like they could say something about the whole industry, whether it was actual live performances or who got deals or any of that kind of stuff. And I know a lot of people are still really confused about what this means. Some of their favorite artists have now, you know, apologized and admitted that they've done certain things. How do we acknowledge women's voices? And I think a lot of people want to just separate it. If I like this artist, then I'm not going to pay attention to anything said about them. I mean, I know no one has the answers for this, but how do you navigate that, having, you know, kind of your background that you do?
It's tough. Just speaking on a personal level, I cannot. I know some people say, oh, well, you have to separate the artist from their art. I can't. Once those stories mount and I'm hearing the same accusations from different women for a span of years, it becomes too difficult for me to separate the art from the artist. So, you know, one thing that I try to do is, you know, that particular artist, if that's who they are, I just can't get with that anymore. I'd rather discover someone new. How many artists are out there trying to make it? I'd rather find an indie artist who doesn't have that reputation or someone else who's like that artist. But yeah, I just block it out because I cannot support anyone, man or woman, who chooses to abuse their power against people who are helpless and who just want a shot, an opportunity.
Well, here we're a National Public Radio affiliate, but we play a lot of music. We do music programming. So we're one of the few stations in the nation that we work very hard to have at least half of our music be by women artists. And so as these stories have come out, we're actually making some changes to who we play on the air because of what we know about them now. And it's not easy because some of that music is great, but yeah. We also know there's a power in having this media organization, and who we put on the air is important.
Yeah. And it's tough because some of your favorite songs by these monsters, man, I'm sure they bring up the best memories when you hear them. And for me too, like, I'll hear a song by one of these artists that, you know, one particular who's in jail right now. And I'm like, oh, man, we really, really cut a rug at the wedding dancing to that song. Mm. But like I said, I'm very happy that you and your station, that you guys are doing that, that you are trying your best. You're doing your part to amplify voices. I mean, I was jamming out to Janelle Monáe. I love her. I love everything that she stands for. And she seems independent and powerful. So that's awesome.
So, Tammy, what's easier, performing music or writing a book? Or should I say, what's harder?
I'm going to say what's harder this time around. It was hard to write this book. It was difficult, but there were pockets of joy in there. And I did have a great time playing with poetic structure. But man, performing the audiobook and writing those songs, especially, I don't sing anymore. Like that's just not who I am. So we're talking like 20 years have gone by since I've done that. So that was really hard. And it made me really vulnerable. Like that's my voice that people will hear if they get the audiobook. And that's scary to even think about it.
So the book, I think it came out in February. Is that right?
February 2nd, Muted. Yes.
What have you heard from readers and listeners of the audiobook so far?
I've gotten great feedback. The comments have been largely positive. I've gotten a lot of, I read this book so fast, I couldn't put it down. And then I got a lot of, this book gutted me. So I'm like, I guess that's a compliment.
Right.
So you must have got a few negatives. What were they like?
So as far as the negatives, I have largely stayed away from them. I know that there are negative comments out there. There is a very popular website, which I'm not going to say, where that allows people to go on and give their opinions of books. But here's the thing. If I focus on the negative, I'll never write another book again. So, you know, art is meant to be critiqued. There's plenty of books and songs and movies that I don't like. So people are entitled to their opinion. That's okay.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. It's Tammy Charles. A new novel for young adults is called Muted. Find more information and a trailer for the book at TammyWrites.com. It was just a joy to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.